beginning a retreat, especially for some of you, many of you perhaps, the first retreat in person. It's a special time to come together as a community and practice together. There's something really nourishing and supportive about practicing in person together as community. I think we've all really appreciated, or many of us at least, who have done these online retreats have really appreciated the form and the support that those have offered, especially for integrating our practice into our daily lives. And yet this form also, it's really powerful, really supportive for establishing this container, establishing the awareness that supports learning about how our minds work. We practice to understand our minds. We practice to understand how they get caught in their habits and patterns of struggle, reactivity. We practice to cultivate the conditions that support letting go. The wisdom that develops is a key condition that supports this letting go, supports the mind to release its habits and patterns. We don't do this release ourselves. We don't make it happen. But our practice cultivates the conditions that begins to allow that release, a transformation, really. A transformation of relationship to how we connect with experience, how we relate to experience. And so as we practice to understand our minds, understand how they do what they do, wisdom grows. That understanding cultivates the understanding of conditionality, the conditioned nature of our minds. An understanding of impermanence and unreliability. And yet these understandings they also, the understanding that grows as we practice, it's supported also by conditions, largely by the condition of establishing mindfulness. Establishing a stability of awareness that is curious, interested in what is it like to be a human being in this moment. A curiosity that's simply curious in order to learn what it's like to be a human being, not with a particular agenda to get rid of anything, although this particular kind of attention, this curious attention, does create the conditions for reactivity to release, which is a wonderful thing. But the curiosity needs to be curiosity for the sake of curiosity. Interest in what is this human experience? Seeing into our human experience, seeing into what our minds do, what our bodies, how our bodies and minds interact. Condition that supports that is establishing mindfulness, a continuity of mindfulness. And that's really our work. That's our job here as practitioners, especially on a retreat like this. It's pretty much our main thing we have to do. One of the great benefits of having retreat like this, where we can put down our everyday lives and just turn to cultivating a curious, interested awareness, wise attention. There's different ways to establish mindfulness. The practice that we'll be exploring here primarily encourages an establishment of mindfulness through recognizing mindfulness itself, recognizing awareness, and knowing what awareness is aware of in a moment. It turns around some of perhaps some more familiar flavors of cultivating mindfulness, of choosing an object like the breath to attend to and holding to that object, holding to that experience, just returning to that experience over and over again. Instead, we kind of settle back, notice, begin to recognize, am I aware? We begin to recognize that. What is that experience of being aware? And that, cultivating that, recognizing just that, knowing that we're aware, and when we know that we're aware, we will know something that we are aware of. But moment after moment, it's more of a feeling of receiving experience rather than choosing what we pay attention to. We orient more towards recognizing that we're aware, and then whatever is in the field of that awareness might be a body sensation, might be a sound, might be a sight, might be a thought or an emotion, a breath. We recognize what we are aware of, but we don't have any agenda to hold on to that. The agenda is about curiosity to be aware. Am I aware? And what is obvious? I know that most of you at least are familiar with this style, at least a little bit. So this is just a little bit of a reminder, a little bit of a refresher. Brief reminders of how this practice works. And perhaps reminders to trust it. That establishment of mindfulness, the continuity of mindfulness, it develops by just recognizing awareness itself. And the continuity of mindfulness is where the mind begins to see and understand the conditioned nature of experience, begins to see and understand in the impermanent nature of experience, the unreliable nature of experience. It doesn't require any special object. We orient to this moment, what's being received in this moment. Whatever's happening in a moment, it is conditioned. It is impermanent. It is not a reliable place to land and hold on to and say, this is where I'll be happy forever. And so it doesn't matter what the object of awareness is. It's already got that nature, the Dharma nature. So any experience can reveal this truth, these truths to us. Any experience. It doesn't have to be some special experience. There are stories in the suttas of people becoming awakened, Ananda becoming awakened as he's lying down, shifting from sitting to lying. Just that ordinary experience of shifting to lying down. But the mindfulness was so clear. The story of Patachara. We have a statue of a carving of Patachara in the other room, which if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to look at it. It's beautiful. And Patachara became awakened when she pushed the wick down in her lamp. Again, just an ordinary activity. It takes being present. But what we're present for doesn't like have to be some exotic, like deeply something state of mind. It can be simple, ordinary, everyday activities that we are just really present for. And so that establishment of mindfulness, that's our work. And I will say, I'll just talk for another few minutes probably here, just keep this briefer tonight. When I talk about establishing mindfulness, that continuity of mindfulness, the mind might create the idea that, okay, I need to spend 3 or 4 days to really get that mindfulness going. And then maybe I'll have some kind of understanding or insight or something. And if I forget any time in that, like first day and I lose my train of, you know, lose my mindfulness and get lost in thought, then I have to start over, get that ball rolling for another 3 or 4 days before anything will happen. That's certainly the way my mind thought about this continuity. I thought it meant continuity meant I had to be continuously mindful for days on end before I would have any kind of insight or understanding. But through my own experience, my own practice, I've come to recognize the possibility. I sometimes call them bursts of continuity, where with the intention to cultivate this mindfulness, the intention to be present and to be really interested in the moment when mindfulness returns, that moment I've seen is actually really powerful. If you're not judging yourself for the mind having gotten lost, the moment when mindfulness returns, if you're just, oh, here it's back, if you're right there in that moment, sometimes that moment itself can lead to something very clearly seen, a clear understanding of impermanence or conditionality, something really deeply letting go, a freedom in that moment. And so we are, in the intention is to cultivate the mindfulness. Sayadaw says this sometimes, you know, cultivate the mindfulness, especially on retreat, from the moment you wake up until the moment you fall asleep. And that's our work, that's our intention, and that's all we have to do here. So it's not like we have other jobs we have to do. That's our work, that's our job, is to cultivate that mindfulness. But there's not a, it's like a given that your mind is not going to be able to be continuously mindful from the time you wake up until you go to bed. And so don't beat yourself up about that. A really important point or time is to cultivate a relationship to the moment that mindfulness returns that is curious, non-judgmental. Just, what's here? Oh, I'm back. What's here right now? And sometimes in that moment, after the mind has been working with this for some time, sometimes in that moment, the mind can see very clearly. In the space of 2 seconds, get what I call that burst of continuity and see something, understand something very clearly. So I do want to encourage this practice of continuity, recognizing awareness. Simple practice that we have here. We start with relaxation because that's a supportive condition for awareness. Relax the body. Relax the mind. And then recognize aware. Aware. Are you aware? Do you know that you're aware right now? Don't overthink it. Just, you even hear the question and are attending. You're not lost in thought. You're probably aware. So that, simple. Yes, awareness is here, and what is obvious? Relax. This recognition of awareness is simpler, kind of a natural, it can be a natural recognition when there's a relaxation of mind. Are you aware? And what is obvious? Maybe body sensation, breath, sound. What we're aware of probably changes moment after moment. We don't need to hold on to an object, to what we are aware of. We don't need to hold on to it. Just relax and allow the objects, the experience, to simply take its course and cultivate that curiosity. What's the next thing? What's the next thing? And the next thing. And then, because our minds are so tricky, so able to delude themselves, it's really useful every now and then to kind of be curious about not only the what is happening, but how the mind is in relationship to it. Not only how the mind is in relationship to the experiences we're having. Something's pleasant, we might like it, want it to continue. Something's unpleasant, we might not like it, want it to stop. And also there are relationships to experience, not so much based on the what is happening, but more based on our ideas about what should be happening because we're meditating. And so sometimes the relationship to our experience has to do with some idea or agenda we might have about the meditation. Like maybe what's happening is actually kind of pleasant. Maybe there's a pleasant experience of drifting. But we have the idea that, oh, a drifting state, that's not a good enough experience to be really seeing something clearly with. So I'd better brighten up the mind. And so that's an idea of what should be happening in the meditation, as opposed to, this is what's happening in the meditation. There's this drifting quality, this floaty quality that can be known. And yet we might think it's a problem because we have some idea about the meditation. What objects are good objects? What objects are bad objects? That's why I kind of brought in at the beginning this idea that it really does not matter what the experiences are. And so this checking the attitude, checking the relationship to experience can begin to uncover the liking, the not liking, the flavors of greed and aversion, anger, frustration, irritation, impatience, confusion, all kinds of flavors that might happen in relationship to the experience or in relationship to what we think should be happening in the meditation. And so when we can check that in, check in with that, what is the relationship with what's going on now? We might notice a flavor of greed, aversion, or a flavor of a view or an idea, a belief. what should be happening or shouldn't be happening. And if you notice one of those flavors of a relationship that hadn't been seen before clearly, it's kind of like, oh, that's what's going on. Oh, I got this idea that this isn't a good object for meditation. I've got this idea driftiness is a useless thing to be doing right now. When we can see that, there's not much to do other than notice that. Oh, what's happening right now is there's drifting, and I don't think I should be drifting. That's what's happening right now. It kind of brings that relationship into the field of what we can now be aware of. And then we trust, again, we trust that it's enough to just know that. Just know that. And sometimes when we check into the relationship to experience, we might also recognize or notice that there's a kind of okayness. It's not a problem. The mind feels at ease, calm. Maybe it feels interested, curious, patient, balanced. And that's a great thing to recognize too. To get a sense, a flavor, the taste of the mind that has that quality of balance, of ease, of patience, interest. May have the flavors too of the Brahmaviharas, of love, compassion, joy. Just becoming aware of that. Oh, what's happening is there's drifting is happening and it's okay. The mind is at ease with that. What does it feel like for the mind to be at ease? That nourishes and supports those qualities, those beautiful qualities of mind. So there'll be more on this topic tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And right now, Dawn will offer some reflections on the refuges and the precepts.
So this, is the volume okay? No. Okay, I'm continuing to talk. Can you hear me all right in the back row? How's this? Pretty close. Okay, that's better. Okay, great. So, greetings, fellow Dhamma wayfarers. All of us in this room have taken the refuges in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha quite some number of times. And so I'll keep my reflections brief. But the general invitation is to drop into your heart, your mind, the question, what inspires you about the Buddha? About going for refuge in the Buddha. Just letting that question drop in, resonate. Trusting what emerges. For some people, it's the historical Buddha. Buddha as exemplar, possibility. For some people, it's glimpses of awakened mind, or even the potential of awakened mind. Feel into what feels right for you in this moment. And then the Dharma, the teachings, practice, nature, dropping the question, the inquiry into the heart and mind. What inspires you to go for refuge in Dharma in this moment? And the Sangha, traditionally the Sangha of monastics that have carried the lineage, the Sangha of awakened beings here and now and stretching back through time, and also this practice community here. Dropping the inquiry, the question mark, into the heart, the mind. What inspires me to go for refuge in Sangha in this moment? So we'll do the refuges in Pali, in call and response. Buddham saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
Buddham saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
Dhammaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi. Sangham saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
Sangham saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
Dutiyampi Buddhaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
Dutiyampi Buddhaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
Dutiyampi Dhammaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
Dutiyampi Dhammaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
Dutiyampi Sanghaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
Dutiyampi Sanghaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
Tatiyampi Buddhaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
Tatiyampi Buddhaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
Tatiyampi Dhammaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
Tatiyampi Dhammaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
Tatiyampi Sanghaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
Tatiyampi Sanghaṁ saraṇaṁ gacchāmi.
So the next step, as you all know, is the taking of the five precepts. Training rules. And whatever they mean to you, perhaps consider, and you may already have, how inspiring it is to be part of a community that prioritizes the safety of each other, that cares ethically for the well-being of each other, I find that inspiring in my own life, in my own practice among Sangha. And to imagine what this society, what this world would be like if everyone adhered to these five precepts. If everyone adhered to even one of them. And very briefly, I'm not going to touch on all five, but just to name that this is an opportunity to bring awareness, a slight, even a bit more continuity of awareness to the actions, the training roles of these precepts. Whether it be refraining from taking what is not freely given by offering someone else the chance for seconds with one of my favorite foods. Or refraining from sexual misconduct, here that's refraining from any intentional sexual activity, that extends to things as basic as not touching another yogi, not even vibing another retreatant, but to allow ourselves to stay contained. We are going into noble silence, so we're refraining from any speech, not just false or harmful speech. But there's also kind of shades into refraining from intoxicants that cloud the body and mind. Can refrain from the news cycle, social media, email, unnecessary clutter in the mind. In the heart. And most of all, to draw strength, inspiration from the goodness of this community and from the training roles that we are adhering to together. So we're going to do these in English and call and response just so we're all doing the same wording. I undertake the training to refrain from killing living beings. I undertake the training to refrain from taking that which is not freely given. I undertake the training to refrain from intentional sexual activity. I undertake the training to refrain from false and harmful speech. I undertake the training to refrain from intoxicants that cloud the body and mind. Thank you for your care.
So let's sit together. First, just landing with the appreciation for this container, a container of refuge and of non-harm. And appreciating, as John was pointing to, appreciating that goodness. The goodness of being inspired by the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. the possibility of freedom, the possibility of awakening. And being nourished by this intention. Of non-harming, appreciating that goodness, feeling into that goodness if that's available, letting yourself take some delight or joy. Don't underestimate the power of that goodness. I think so often in our culture we emphasize what we do wrong. And here, appreciate the goodness of this. Landing with yourself. And that appreciation. Maybe there's a sense of uplift of the heart. If that's available. Perhaps there can be a relaxation around it, an allowing it to support a relaxation of body. And if it doesn't feel available, that's okay. Maybe there can be just a settling and a relaxing of the body. Maybe touching into various areas where tension may be held. Maybe the face can relax, shoulders. Maybe the arms and hands can relax. Maybe all those muscles around the rib cage can relax. Maybe the stomach can relax. The hips. The legs, the feet. And perhaps too, inside the body, more deeply internally, can relax too. Maybe the inside of the throat can soften. Maybe the heart can relax. Maybe the stomach and the intestines can relax. And maybe the mind can relax. Maybe the mind can let go of thoughts, worries, concerns. This relaxation of body supports the mind to relax. And when the mind is relaxed, what it naturally does is notice what's happening in the present moment. And so relaxation can be a great support for this natural capacity of awareness. Are you aware? Just a simple recognition. Of awareness. You don't have to know exactly how you know you're aware. That you know you're aware is enough. And perhaps over time, the felt sense or the quality of the feeling of being aware will grow. Maybe there can be a sense of resting and being aware, allowing experience to come to you, receiving whatever is obvious in this moment. Sound. Body sensation. Thoughts. Moods or emotions. Relax. Rest. Be available for this stream or flow of human experience. One thing after another, or sometimes a feeling of many things at the same time. You don't have to name or know exactly what everything is. Are you aware? the attention may shift from one thing to another with a flow or a rhythm or a kind of a quality of shifting and changing. Or it may feel like the attention is pretty broad, wide. Sometimes the attention might linger with a sound or breathing for a while. What is happening in this moment? And now, then you will lose mindfulness. The mind will wander, maybe off into thinking. And the mindfulness will return at some point. That moment when mindfulness returns. Notice that is what awareness is like. It's a great place to really get familiar with that feeling of being aware. Oh, I'm aware. Aware again. Allow there to be a curiosity about that experience of mindfulness returning. And what's obvious in that moment? Sometimes it's a sound that has brought us back, and that's what's obvious in the moment. Or a body sensation. And sometimes what's obvious in that moment is the recollection or the sense of the thoughts that have been happening. The kind of flavor of the mind that had been thinking. What's that like? Are you aware? Receiving human experience, the experience of this human in this space and this time. And check the relationship to the experience. You want something to happen. Do you want something to stop happening? Are there ideas about what should be happening? Or maybe there's a sense of ease or balance, calm or curiosity. Are you aware? Of what? Awareness recognizes experience. When we can tune into aware, the awareness will recognize the of what. Just remembering awareness. So we are formally in silence now. And if you are tired, as a number of you described in the opening circle, it's often tiring to get here. You're welcome to explore what it's like to be aware while you head to your room. Brush your teeth. Sit down on the bed. Maybe turn out the light. Just carrying awareness with you and taking your rest. And some of you may still have energy and you're welcome to continue to sit or be walking outside or in various, wherever you want to do that. Or maybe sit outside with a cup of warm water. Just remembering awareness. Relax. This is if you feel like I've got to remember awareness, try relaxing instead. And let the awareness come rather than looking for it. So the wake-up bell will be at 5:30 tomorrow, and the first sitting at 6. I will be training Dawn to make a breakfast, so both of us will be in the kitchen at that time tomorrow, so we won't be in here with you. But most days, one or the other of us will be in here while the other of us is making breakfast. So just wanted to let you know where we will be at 6 o'clock tomorrow. We'll be making your oatmeal. So enjoy your evening and rest well.